Hello, everybody. Welcome to the SuperOffice podcast. Today, we are sharing the third and final step in our mini-series about how to build a revenue pipeline on LinkedIn. I've interviewed and had a chat with Stephen McDonnell, the guru of LinkedIn and content creation, and we have discussed the five-step process to help you do the same thing. Step one, in episode one and two, we had like 30 minutes each, and today the third one, it completes the whole five-step process, and Stephen also shares a bonus step, so I hope you like that. So let's just dive directly into it. My name is Hans Christian Grønstvedt, and I'm your host for the SuperOffice podcast. Hope you enjoy it.
Did you last publish on LinkedIn?
Ooh, that was maybe a week ago. Okay. But not a post, but I was commenting. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So a week ago, you left a comment.
Yep.
How many times have you logged into LinkedIn since then?
Well, I'm quite frequent in there. Yeah.
So but many times.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what most people do.
Yeah.
They'll check it
check
every
it out.
Day. Yes.
Yeah.
But every now and again, they'll comment or they'll post. So even if you connect and they don't contribute content themselves, you know they'll be lurking.
Yeah.
You know they'll be scrolling their feed.
Yeah.
So remember I said earlier about being laser focused?
Yeah.
This applies to commenting too.
Yeah.
So let's say your X is sales. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll use that example again. Mm. And specifically, sales for people in tech, sales and B2B. When someone posts a cat GIF, you don't need to comment on that and say, "This is funny, ha ha ha." Skip that. Scroll to the post, which is about sales and tech and B2B, and leave a comment there. And when it comes to leaving a good comment, it's not about just saying, "I agree," or "well said," or "good job." It's sharing your expertise. You know, maybe it's a counterpoint. Someone says, "Sales technology is a waste of time." You say, "Oh, well, you know, great point. But in my experience, I've seen dot, 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 dot."
Yeah. You value, you're adding value to that actually comment, showing your expertise, right?
Yeah. Showing it. And what will happen is a couple of things. One is, even if you just do steps 1 to 4, you can create a really nice following just by leaving great comments.
Yeah.
Each time someone likes your comment, if you're not connected with them, they automatically will be following you. So you can grow your following really, fairly quickly based on that. Now, a couple of things you can do is you can, going back to how do you know if they're within my ICP? Well, you can set notifications up, right? And you can follow people so that when they do post content, you automatically get notified.
But that's in, is that in the Sales Navigator or is it in the premium or?
No, I believe it's if you just go to their profile, you can click.
Yeah, so your settings where you notifications.
I don't know if it's a Sales Navigator tool. I actually just realized recently that I've been subscribing to Sales Navigator. I didn't think I was.
No.
So I've been paying €70 is it a month for a long time without realizing.
Yeah, and they're putting everything in there. So
Yeah, but you can go because you know if you've seen those posts where it says click on the bell on my profile to be notified. If you do that with people within your ICP, then when you log in, you'll get the notifications. You can see it immediately.
Right. And if you're into ABM and you have your target list of 20, 40 or 100, then you'll, it's a one-time job to do that, right?
For sure.
Agreed. Great.
So there's that. So prioritize theirs. And if they don't post content, then it's engaging with relevant posts and sharing your expertise. And I think
my experience is that a lot of normal companies are not very active, like you say.
But they'll still be logging in and still be scrolling.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And in fact, when I look at since I started posting on LinkedIn, and we're talking now 3.5 million people have viewed my content.
Yep.
I've sold more than 3 million NOK in sales.
Mm.
Pipeline north of between 3 and 4 million NOK as well.
Mm.
Very few of those people I've sold to have liked or commented on my post. It's usually someone says, hey, my CEO saw your post.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, so it comes indirectly rather than your actual follower. Yeah. So it's not that easy to say, hey, so don't expect to, you know, get that DM in your inbox and say, now I want to buy from you. But there are indirect, it's like referral sales, basically,
right?
Because people come and buy because they heard somebody say or talk about something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. For sure. I mean, it's a funny story was someone reached out to me maybe about 10 months ago now and said, hey, Stephen, love your content. Can we set up a meeting? I'm looking, you know, to start scaling SEO and content. Sure.
Mm.
And I thought, I don't recognize the name. So I just kind of go through their own activity feed just to see if they liked my content. Mm. I scrolled back for like maybe 12 months.
Mm.
They didn't like a single post of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I connected with them before I even started posting.
Mm.
So it was a really interesting journey just to see like, wow, this person likes my content, but doesn't actually like it. It doesn't click the like button.
No, just looks at it.
Just looks at it and then leaves. And she does. It happens time and time again until they think, okay, now we're ready. Who should we reach out to?
That's what you feel on Instagram as well. You talk to people that they haven't liked or anything, but they know exactly what you've been doing. And hey, I saw that journey or whatever. So.
Yeah.
And it's like, isn't it the 1-9-90 principle, you know?
Right.
One actually writes something, 9 can like it, and 90 sees it but doesn't do anything. And those are interesting as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It's very, very interesting journeys.
Yeah. But that's a tricky part because how engagement, you know, it doesn't create engagement if they just look. And that can be discouraging for somebody who's spending like an hour a week on this and nothing happens really. But you just need to keep calm and carry on and wait for the long-term effect of it.
Yeah, and also too, so LinkedIn, we don't know much about their algorithm. And to be honest, I haven't spent much time looking into it either. But what I do know is something called dwell time, right? Which is people who spend time reading your post. Like that is a factor. Now, reading a post doesn't necessarily mean they will like it or leave a comment. But if someone goes to your post, clicks read more or see more, reads, spends 30 to 60 seconds reading it, doesn't engage with it and leaves, that is a good positive indicator that they've consumed your content.
Yeah.
Because of that, LinkedIn will then show it to more people.
Yeah.
Right. So you will eventually get engagement just from other people.
Yeah.
If people are clicking on the see more and reading the content. So if it's good enough, you're right. People within your ICP will be reading it.
Yeah. And you also have this effect that people will not look on your profile, but they will go to Google and they will find your website or something. Sure. And you will go onto the website and there is no connection between those two. But they've seen you and they know where you work and then they go onto your website as an organic search or something.
For sure. For sure. I think I would say 99% of all meetings I've had have come through DM. Reason why is because if someone is on LinkedIn, it's much easier just to go click on someone's headshot. Click new message and write what it is they want. They're on the platform already. They're not going to leave and go on another journey.
No.
But it doesn't mean to say that they haven't done that process beforehand. Because they might have seen your content several times.
Yeah.
And on the eighth time is when they reach out to you.
Mm.
But between times 1 and 7, they've Google searched you. They've checked content on your website. They've looked at the services you offer. So they have a good mind. And just one last thing on that too.
Yeah.
When they do reach out to you, if they've been following your content for a while, they're already sold on what you do.
Yeah.
Closing becomes much easier.
Yeah. Yeah, because the 80% have been now they're on to you because they want to really get to know you and maybe come down to the intent is high. But it this sounds again easy, but if I'm a sales guy and I've been doing all these things and I don't get any DMs, you mentioned before we went live here that there was this one guy, what was his name? David
Oh,
Goggin,
David
was it?
Goggins, right? Yeah, being
Yeah, how do
one
you
to
keep your
LinkedIn.
motivation if you don't get these DMs? How long do you keep on posting? You need to be persistent here, and it's not a e easy task, and you need to motivate yourself.
So I think there are a couple of things. One is it's going to take a few months anyway. I would say give it at least 6 months, right? You can't do it for 3 months and give and then think, why is it not happening? Give it time. That's step one. So set, realistic expectations here. It's not going to happen overnight. Two is you cannot just post week in, week out for 6 months and then ask what happened. You need to be looking at after the 3 month mark, or maybe after the 20th post mark, like, is it getting some kind of traction? Am I seeing some kind of engagement? If you're getting zero engagement for your first 10 posts, maybe it's something to do with the post you're putting out or the time you're putting it out, or maybe the style and format of, you need to start dissecting this a little bit more. Waiting 6
Try.
months and then thinking what's happened is too late. It's, look for indicators early on, right? My first post in May 2020 got 1,000 impressions. What I'm seeing now, having run this time and time again with multiple people, your first few posts will do really well. LinkedIn will give you that buzz, that new user buzz, because you're putting out new content and you've not done that before. You'll be like, wow, this is easy. And by post four, five, and six, it will drop down dramatically. So you have to ask yourself, okay, is the content stale already? Is the format changed? What should I do for post number seven and eight to try and change it up a bit? And just experiment. And in fact, I do say the first 20 posts should be wild. And when I say wild, I mean try different formats, try posting on different days, try posting audio, video, written, carousels, you name it. Try different things, because when you see some kind of indication that this post is doing well, now lean into that a little bit more.
The carousel you mentioned, that's a new format. But it's not everywhere. I cannot put a carousel up, right? Do I need some sort? Is it because I haven't posted enough yet or haven't got the authority or?
Interesting. I thought they'd rolled it out. I'm not
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah, I've seen somewhere, but I tried it the other day, but I couldn't get it. So maybe they'll be listening to this podcast and give me some opening.
Well, I think just one thing on that, and it also ties directly into the next part anyway, which is publishing your own content. But I think a lot of people, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and I've still not been able to narrow down how I communicate it, but I'll try anyway. A lot of people say post content for your audience or create content for your audience, right? Something I've been thinking about a lot lately is start posting content for yourself. And what I mean by that is if you don't love the content you're putting out, you're going to fail quickly, because audience changes, algorithms change, and tying it to carousels. Carousels are huge. But then what you do is you start creating content for LinkedIn's algorithm, not yourself, right? And I think if you're chasing the algorithm, you're chasing the dopamine hits, you're chasing the thousands of likes you're getting, you're going to live an unhappy life. Like, is that what makes you happy? Just getting all that attention online? And I think what I think is when I come comes, this goes all the way back to when I started creating content for the SuperOffice blog. I called it the Facebook test, which was, if I put this content out on Facebook, am I happy with it? Am I proud of it? Because I know if it's not good, my mother and my sister will tell me, right? Like, they won't understand it, but they'll still tell me if it's good or not. And I think that's what I've been thinking about a lot about lately too, is am I proud of this content I'm putting out? Is it helpful? Is it doing the right thing? that if that's the first check, then at least I'm giving myself a chance.
Yeah,
maybe, that's maybe a good, other people will like it too.
Yeah, that's a good test. And you mean, and that also says that it shouldn't be too long, because then you'll never be happy about it. I mean, right. Yeah. So try and experiment and check it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So we need to go on to the final step here, Stephen, and that's publish. 5.
Yes, yeah. So if you've gone through steps 1 to 4, now you're ready to start publishing your own content.
Yeah.
Now, I mentioned earlier the first 20 posts should be wild. Definitely experiment and take that mindset with you throughout your entire time contributing on LinkedIn.
Mm. And it could be a video. That's one of the posts, right?
For sure.
Yeah. Could be any format, actually. Yeah. That's part of the experimentation.
For sure. And the key is just to find a time of day or a day of week that you're comfortable with. But then try and stick to that as well. Oh, once you've collected enough data, if you find that Wednesdays at 2 p.m. work well,
yeah,
try to be consistent on that.
Ah.
It's okay to test other times as well.
Yeah.
But what I found is when I first started posting on LinkedIn for the first 12 months, I posted Monday and Wednesday at 10:30 CET. And I was very strict, specific on that time. And you might think, like, well, why does it matter? And here's something that's funny, is when you start gaining a bigger following and you start getting a lot of engagement on your content, if someone leaves a great comment on your post, other people will see it and they will engage with that person too, right? So going back to 4, engage with other people's content. If you leave a great comment, people will follow you and connect with you and view your profile. Well, people will be doing that on your content too, right?
Yeah.
And when you have a big enough following, people will then prioritize commenting on your posts when they go live.
Because they recognize you and they see you in the feed. And
and they know that if they leave a comment, they'll get a lot more followers and a lot more engagement.
Yeah.
So when you're
The word platform concept. Yes.
Exactly. So if I post on Mondays at 10:30,
yeah.
I don't know this for a fact, but there could be maybe 10, 15 people ready to comment as soon as my content goes live. Because if they know 2,000 people are going to like it, 100,000 people are going to see it, that's great visibility for them as well. Because their comment will appear at the top.
Yeah.
So when you're consistent, you get to play with that too. Because if you're a creator, one of the best things you can see is a new comment on your post. Because you know it helps you.
Definitely. Right? Yeah.
You know, it helps you.
Yeah.
So that's the rewards platforms going again. So there's that. And then when it comes to creating, so you test different formats, you see what works. Okay. Then you start leaning to it. Another tip I would say is to batch content. So create maybe 4 posts at a time and then schedule them out. Because one of the worst things you can do is turn up to LinkedIn, click on start new post, and expect to create the best piece of content you've ever produced.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to happen.
No.
Right? All of the top influencers on LinkedIn are batching content. They'll create content this week that goes live for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, so you time slot something that you produce a couple of contents, and then you have to be patient enough. I want to publish it immediately because just waiting for that engagement. But if you can have ice in your stomach, I don't know what you say in British.
Yeah, that's actually another good skill. Yeah, because there's so many times when I've created a piece of content and I thought, this is good.
Yeah,
this is right now.
Yeah.
Perfect timing. There's a lot of talk in the community. I should post it now.
Mm.
But it's a Thursday. And I post on Mondays. So I'm thinking, I'll wait. I can wait a few more days.
Yeah. Nobody knows but you, right?
Right. Nobody knows. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So that's another tip as well. Because then what you want to do is let's say you post Monday at 10:30. All you want to do on Monday at 10:29 is go to your document, copy, go to LinkedIn, paste, click publish, and you're good. You don't want to open LinkedIn at 10 o'clock.
No,
on Monday and think, okay, I've got a meeting in half an hour. I've got to quickly put something together and then click post.
Yeah, that's a good point. So be prepared, create your stuff in advance, and then you stick to your preferred dates and timings. Yes. Yeah.
And I would say the most important tip I could share is the first two lines of your post.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are by far the most important.
Because they come before the dots, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you think that it's okay what you have, but really the best piece of content you have is below, most people will not read that best piece of content.
Yeah.
You have to spend time practicing, improving, optimizing the first two lines, also known as the hook, as often as possible. If they are not good enough, people will scroll right past them. You have to grab someone's
attention. But can you edit that after you published?
You can.
But it won't work.
LinkedIn will penalize if you edit a post.
Yeah.
I've tested it probably a handful of times. You post something and maybe there's a typo or, you know, there's a number that you think, okay, actually it's actually far higher. I should have used the higher version, not the you know, conservative number. I edit it and my post will literally just die in terms of reach.
Yeah,
like, so it will not get any further.
No, this it's not revitalized. That means you cannot repurpose a post. You have to write a new one, or
you can. So here's something that a lot of LinkedIn influencers are doing right now, which is taking old content that performed really well and just doing a new post on it.
Yeah, that's rewriting it, updating. Yeah.
Yeah, you cannot click the repost option.
No.
Well, maybe you can technically, but it doesn't have the same effect.
No.
The idea is that if I have 10 followers today, and next week I have 20 followers, and next week I have 30 followers, those new followers haven't seen my post from 3 weeks ago.
No.
So I can technically just post it again.
Yeah.
But I think there is a certain time frame in mind you need to be considerate of. Like if you have one, if you share old content every month, people are going to quickly catch on to it and say, this guy's resharing old stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. So that's the five-step?
Five-step, yes. But there's five a bonus step too.
All right. Now it's now it's coming into play here. What's the bonus step, Stephen?
So the bonus step is what you alluded to earlier, which is meeting.
Yeah, how to make it work over time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In your team, if you have a team of five people, you know, what does it take to make it move and stick?
So I've seen firsthand that if you try to let this run on its own, people will skip a week as they're busy, or it's Easter break, they'll skip that week. And then all of a sudden, you know, we mentioned it earlier, they default on what they know, and LinkedIn is not what they know. So therefore, they just stop producing content for several weeks. Yep. Before you know it, all that hard work you put into it has just gone down the drain.
Yeah.
To prevent that is to have weekly calls with this group that you are doing this program with, right? So, for example, at Enevo, it's every Wednesday. 15 minutes, that's it. And we do a round table. What did you learn this week? And each person says one thing. Now, it could be, I learned that when I publish content in English, it performs better than in Norwegian. That's a good insight for everyone who posts in Norwegian.
Yeah.
Another one could be, I learned that when, because one guy shared a case study on the LinkedIn algorithm, that if you do X and Y, you can get better reach. Okay, great. It doesn't have to be what they learned firsthand. It's what they discovered as well. Or I can say, like I did recently, I learned that even though I've been publishing the same type of content for weeks on end, doesn't mean it's going to work. So I have to pivot into a different topic. And when I tried that, my post performed just as well.
Yeah.
So while it's good to be consistent and disciplined, it's also good to be open-minded.
Yeah. So these are a group of people who sign up for this program, right?
Correct.
You're not forcing anybody to do it, but it's, you know, if you want to be here, we can offer. But who should run this meeting? Is it one of the team players, or is it the sales manager, marketing person?
Good question. So right now it's been myself.
Yeah.
Because I said, hey, let's do this program. It's easier for me to run it.
Yeah.
But I think having a manager is fine. Or maybe delegating to someone else to run it as well if they're one of their own projects.
Yeah.
Do that. But it's not just the meeting and discussing. That's one part.
Yeah.
The other part is tracking.
Yeah. So you need some sort of Excel spreadsheet to fill out how many contacts, posts.
Exactly. So we have a very simple formula that we've been using now with all four companies.
Yeah.
It's the week, a link to the post, the author, because there's eight of us in this group in Enevo. Then it's engagement. So likes, comments, shares, and then views.
Yeah.
Because you can use tools like Shield. If you do, I think it's shieldapp.ai.
Yeah.
And that can collect all this data for you. But it's probably a bit expensive if you have like a team of like 10, 15 people. So we use Excel. And the idea being is that each week we share what we learned. But then this document, this reporting sheet, allows us to go back to all October.
Yeah.
And we can say, okay, maybe someone hasn't identified a trend. They've been posting about this topic 5 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
And each week they've been getting more engagement and more impressions. Okay, nice. So maybe if that's a hot topic, maybe others can talk about that too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we're looking at it from a short-term perspective and analyzing it on a week-in, week-out basis. Then we have all the data that goes back for 40 posts now, maybe, for eight different authors.
So and then you have some, and you have some commitment in there as well, because if I'm on here, my commitment is to do this on a weekly basis, and I actually go wholehearted in for it.
And you, there's an element of accountability too, right? Because each week before the meeting, we say, update the report for your last post. So everyone goes in. So I can see if someone hasn't posted for 3 weeks straight.
Yeah, great. Okay, that's a good bonus tip here. Hey, it's been a lot of tips in here, Stephen.
Thank you, thank you. I'm glad.
Yeah, this is really good, and it's an inspiring thing. I hope you know some of our listeners will grab onto it and start a small project. I think you know if you have 2, 3, 4, 5 people wanting to join this, and I'm sure you can have this. Round robin person as well. I mean, if there are 5 people, you can share hosting that 15 minutes meeting as well.
Very easy to copy.
Yeah, very easy. And you got the, you know, the format of that Excel spreadsheet as well. So I want to thank you very much for it. If people want to get in contact with you, Stephen, you know, you said you had a goal of being on podcasts.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm not going to share that, by the way, because I want you on here the next time as well. Not next time, but soon, checking out how this is going to be.
Nice.
But where can they reach out to you, find you?
So best thing to do is go to Google and search for Stephen McDonald Estonia. Yeah. And I should be number one, and number one is my LinkedIn profile. Go there.
I like that.
And connect with me. If I'm not number one, then connect with the person that is number one, because then they deserve to be connected with.
Yeah, then that should be me then. No, I'm just kidding.
But I will share this too. So there's a couple of things. One is we recently launched a blog post on the Enevo website, which details these 5 steps from Enevo's perspective. So we break it down in terms of the goals, the X, connecting with people who buy from you, and things like that. The URL there is enevo.com/LinkedIn-marketing, or you can go to the blog on linkedin.com and find it there.
I'll put that link in the show notes there as well. So
perfect.
Thank you again for joining us. So I guess that wraps it up, Stephen.
Thank you so much. It's been fun.
Yes, you too. See you. All right.
Thanks a lot.
Bye, guys. That, ladies and gentlemen, concludes the mini-series of how to build a revenue pipeline on LinkedIn with Stephen McDonald. I want to thank him for his contribution. I think it was a great and a lot of practical tips. If you only came in today on the third part of it, I would recommend you to go back to episode number 32 and 33 because it all fits together. And bring your notes and start small, start doing some of these steps. And if you could encourage some of your sales colleagues and marketing colleagues, it's a good way to sort of start doing this, and maybe also do this Excel sheet where you can gather some people in your team and commit together with like a 10-week plan or something. That's what I really like about the practical steps that Stephen talked about in these three episodes. Again, my name is Hans Gronslet. I'm your host for the SuperOffice podcast. If you have any tips on topics and possible guests, please send me a note on hc@superoffice.com. If you learned something today, if you like the episode and the podcast show, it would be great if you could review it and give us a rating on the Apple Podcaster. And even talk and share with one friend. That helps us build a community. That's what we had today. Hope you enjoyed it and see you next time. Thank you.